Today's Old Testament lesson is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I had an outline for the sermon and was well underway and putting it together when I realized I needed to add to today's service the installation and ordination of church officers. So part of the last couple days was spent in some quick surgery, and a blessing for you today is that the sermon is shorter than I had originally intended. Mike was one of my college roommates. And during the January Independent Study Month in the senior year, as a social work major, he interned at a residential behavioral health facility. He came back once and shared with us an incident. He was walking by the room, looked in. The patient was kneeling by the bed going, Oh, Father, Father, please forgive me. Forgive me, Father God. Forgive me, Jesus." Mike paused and said, "Well, I should go in and talk to this person." But before he could, the person jumped up onto his bed, stood there, pointed down to where he had been kneeling, and said, "I'm sorry, Robert, but you've been a bad boy." Sin, guilt, and shame are our focus this week as we look at dealing with the stuff of life. These are the parts of the stuff we'll focus on. Let me define some terms quickly. Sin, I am treating as knowing the right choice, path, principle, direction, and willingly choosing the wrong one. I also know that we tend to sin, and that Jesus dealt with sin in a final way for believers on the cross. But even when we accept that and trust that, let's face it, sin still has a way of creeping into our lives, or at least temptation does. Guilt, I believe, is the straightforward realization and acceptance that what I did was wrong. What I did was bad. I may even have thought I had a good purpose in doing so, but at times we can go too far, or I can. And shame, I would take to be what comes right on the heels of guilt. It wants to zing us. The natural impulse is to attach our guilt somewhere else, to try and hide it, but it becomes part of our identity when we are living in shame. Shame tells me that I am bad and that I have to try and somehow conceal that from others. And guilt does move quickly into shame, doesn't it? We heard the story of Adam and Eve in the garden today. Having been tempted, they fell prey to temptation. And let me just make a quick aside. There is nothing in the scripture that indicates Adam was not present while the conversation with the snake was going on. It's not that Eve was tempted and then she went and tempted Adam. As a matter of fact, if you read the narrative, she's the only one who at least tries to argue with the snake. Adam apparently listened and went, "Okay, by me." Anyway, a first reaction to guilt can be to try and realize that somehow we are now vulnerable, that there's an openness and nakedness about our vulnerability. We try to cover our tracks just as Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves. Fear follows on guilt, particularly if someone is coming around who knows better, so they hide from God. They try to cover up, dressing themselves, they blamed and shifted the fault. That's part of shame also. Adam said, "Oh yeah, the woman gave it to me." Eve said, "Well, it was the snake's fault." At least the snake didn't try and blame it on somebody else. The next reaction is isolation. They heard God coming, they hid. Shame can force us apart from others, at least at the deeper levels of our being. Shame helps us forget that we are meant to be connected to one another. When God created Eve, we are told that He said it was not good that man be alone. Well, it's not good that man be alone. It's not good that woman be alone. But shame can separate us from others as we try and either cover up or make excuses for or pretend our guilt hasn't happened. The impact of shame is first always has a fear of exposure. And we protect it ourselves by either isolation or by continuing to manufacture excuses or pretend that we are better than any one mistake makes us. Shame can become the author and publisher of our identity. It creates a false identity because we fear we are going to be judged only on the basis of what we have done wrong. We need to know, though, and be honest about what we did and the pain that it has caused, but we also need to remember always that we are loved. God is a God of love. That's the God who came to Adam and Eve in the garden. We may think He judged them, but He had stated clearly before that if you eat of the apple, you will die. But God did not make Adam and Eve pay that penalty. He spared them that much. That's a God we see exemplified in Jesus Christ, and that's the God who loves us now. There are a couple different ways of dealing with guilt according to the reading from Matthew. The wide, easy way toward destruction, or the narrow, difficult way towards life. And it is narrow and difficult because to take it, we need to face up to the impact of our shame. We need to be honest about our guilt, but then we need to trust in the forgiveness that is ours. The narrow way is a path of grace, a path of true life, not just somehow in the great by and by, but starting here and now. The other way is an easy way. And to be healed of shame, we must walk the walk of grace, break through the false stories of fear and denial, because shame never heals. The wide path is easy. We can keep making excuses. We can keep making things up. We can keep pointing to other things and other people, either in terms of, well, that's what made me do it, or, well, look what they did. Don't pay attention to my fault. But that never heals. We walk the difficult road of grace in pursuit of life, true life, abundant life, that God created for us to enjoy, and a path to which he fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Acceptance, forgiveness, renewal follow are at the end of the difficult path. We just need to choose which path we want. Let me close this abbreviated sermon with a quote from religious writer Richard Rohr. We thought we came to God by doing it right, but lo and behold, we come to God by doing it wrong and then growing. May we move past shame. May we choose the narrow path. May we grow and know that we are loved. Amen.